Good evening. My name's Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Thank you, Larry, for asking me to lead this meeting. Thank you, Kirk, for rolling with me. Let's see. Where do I start? I haven't spoke much at a meeting up on the podium, from the podium, but I have a sobriety date of April 27, 1987. I have a wife. I have twin boys. They're 5 years old, and I am a colon cancer survivor. So that's how I'm going to start my story. I can remember back when I was about 7 years old, my dad had left the family, and my mom was an RN at the time with five children, and we needed to move from our house, and we moved to a nice house over by Point Loma High School. And I remember Thanksgiving, the champagne came out. My brothers would give me a little sip of champagne, and then we'd go out front, and somehow I'd end up in the bushes. So that was my first experience with alcohol. Right? I can remember about 7 years old or eight, and then you know, it didn't progress much after that. And then I got into junior high, and things. My mom was working full time. I didn't have a dad around, and you know, things were exposed to me. I have older siblings, and you know, drinking was okay at the house with them. So again, they would give me a little sip, and I'd end up in the bushes somehow. And needless to say, I became a landscaper for a profession. So I, you know, there you. I figured I knew how to trim them, so I might as well make money at it. So, I think where it really got bad was in like eighth grade, ninth grade, junior high at Dana Junior High in Point Loma, and then up into Point Loma High School, and that's when things were really exposed to me, marijuana, other substances, and. You know, it just kind of was okay for me to have some booze whenever we had family functions or with my brothers. And it was, back then it was like no big deal. But then, you know, who knew where it was going to take me or not take me. And, you know, I struggled through school. You know, I spent more time at my house than I did at school. I had to attend Claremont High School for because they liked me so much. In the 12th grade that I needed to finish some classes, so I attended summer school. And I remember my mom asking me, just, you know, all I want from you is that your high school diploma, and then you're free to go and do whatever we want. So, you know, I granted her that, and I got into the professional field, you know, construction, things like that, and things were more available to me. I had a lot of freedom, and I really had no responsibilities. I think I had a $25 a month truck payment, and I was always borrowing money from my mom to get gas, and I worked full time, you know. So I do remember sleeping on job sites and, you know, not thinking I had a problem, that maybe because I stayed up a little late the night before, that there might be a problem in my life, and alcohol was controlling what I did and how I thought, and changing my life. So, you know, I didn't go to prison. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't crash a car. So my drunk-a-log isn't of that of any, you know, there's no really wild stories, you know. I remember one night I came home. It was like 4 in the morning, and I came home, and my mom was up. She knew that something was going on just because of my behavior and just weird habits, and she asked me, she says, you know, do you want to get help? And I said, no, I can do it on my own, you know. And I don't know if she was aware of any programs or that, but, you know, her being an RN, she probably had some kind of insight on patients that had been through things and that. So I said, no, I can do it on my own. And I was, I was 19 at the time. And, you know, I tried to do it on my own, and it didn't work. Subsidizing my income by doing other stuff, and I ended up doing it, and so that wasn't really helpful to me, and it was that I don't know what it was. This is what it was. I have a friend, Josh C, and he was in the hospital with Hodgkin's, and I was up visiting him, and his brother came up from a CA meeting down in the basement up in Scripps. And he says, man, you got to check this out. These people hug each other, man. They talk about life. They're just, I mean, he was just jazzed. And I said, all right, I'll go to that meeting with you next week. And that kind of was the the seed that was planted in me. I attended my first CA meeting back in 1986. And I met a man by the name of Peter Fleshman, who has now passed on. And he kind of, you know, I liked his story, you know. That's what attracted me to Peter, you know. And he kind of took me under his wing. He didn't sponsor me. He just kind of, hey, let's try this meeting. So he took me to a Tuesday night Cove meeting. And I was introduced to some people, and I continued for about 11 and a half months. And I didn't do any. I didn't work the steps. I wasn't involved in the program. I just kind of was there, you know. And I don't remember much what was said to me, what was asked of me, or, you know, but I know I didn't do anything. Because looking back now, I went out after 11 and a half months. I hung out with some old friends, and man, it just one night, and that was it. And the next day, fortunately, I was dating a woman that had started getting involved in the program, and she took me to a couple meetings, and there again, Peter took me under his wing, and he says, this is what you need to do, you know, not sponsor me. He says, I'm just going to help you out and find you a sponsor. So I found a sponsor at the Tuesday night co-meeting by the name of a man by the name of Ed Lacey, and he walked me through those steps. And he was a Marine, and he did it thorough, and we did it clean, and, you know, and I'm truly grateful to Ed Lacey today. And I don't know if any of you know him, but he's a great man. And that's when I really got involved. I got involved in the spring roundup, and, you know, Ed was like, okay, we're going to do this step, and this is when you're going to come to my house. And it was like, you know, I was on it. You know, something told me, I better do something, or I'll, it doesn't, you know, I don't have anything to lose, but, you know, I got a problem here. I'm drinking and using every day, and it's not getting any better. So Ed walked me through the steps. I got involved in the San Diego Spring Roundup. You know, I was of service. I did a lot of things. I didn't get rid of my old friends. I just stopped hanging out with them because I knew when I hung out with them, what would happen. And I met a lot of great people in the program. We did a lot of fun things. You know, what I do is I come in here so I learn how to live out there, you know. And I've had a lot of fun in my sobriety. And I'm not done yet. I shouldn't say tragedies, but challenges have happened to me in sobriety. Like I said, you know, I went through a bout of colon cancer and came out of that. I ended with two beautiful little boys who are nothing alike. I'm married to a normie, and she understands the program. She's very helpful, you know, and she drinks a little bit, but whatever. You know, I go to about three meetings a week. I have a sponsor, my home group. We just verified today is Sunday Cedar Street Men's. I am the treasurer there. I got to tell you, after my surgery in 05, I spent about 22 days in the hospital, and I'm not realizing, but it was a rough time. I mean, I kid you not, it was a rough time. I'm a healthy guy. I don't smoke. I don't drink. But I developed every kind of possible infection you can possibly have, and it was supposed to be an 8-day stay. And it turned into 22 days, and I hit a bottom. I hit a mental bottom. My father-in-law had to come and shave me, and here I am. I'm like, well, what's going on here? Not really realizing, but, you know, I didn't want to shower, and everybody was doing everything for me. You know, I wore a bag. You know, that's a little weird at the time. You know, my wife's pregnant, and the kids are kicking, and I've got a bag. You know, so. You know, I got through that, and then I stopped going to meetings, you know. I stopped going to meetings, and I was getting angry, and my mood swings were up and down, and you know, it was affecting my marriage, and it was affecting the way I handled my kids, and thank God nothing bad happened, but I got a group of people that care about me enough to call it on me and say, hey, you know, let's go to a meeting, you know, so. Long, you know, I got involved again, you know. I started taking commitments, and I was a green can guy at a Tuesday night meeting, which was great. It's at 8:15. Kids go to bed at 7:30. Right down in OB, I'm at a meeting for an hour and a half, and I got back in the middle again, and I was feeling really good, and I still had the mood swings, you know. And after all this time, my dad left when I was 7 years old, and I stayed in contact with his brother, my uncle, and we did a lot of things together, and he says, you know, I'm coming to San Diego, why don't we go have dinner with your dad? I'm like, well, where is he, you know? And he says, well, he lives up in La Jolla, I'm sure he'd be glad to see you. So I had a chat with my wife, and, you know, it's like, what are you going to do, you know? I can forgive. I can't forget. And I worked through the steps and in therapy and all that, and I had to let that go. You know, he did what he did, and there's nothing I can do about it, anything about it. And so we went to dinner, and this is what the program brings to you if you know, if you stick around. It's taken me a long time to be grateful for just the little things that happened in my life, and a lot of great things have happened in my life since I've been sober, and that's what keeps me coming back, because I know more is going to happen if I hang out and just learn and keep learning. I know less now than I did back in, you know, when I first got sober, you know. So anyway, I went to dinner with my dad, and it was kind of like, whoa, you know. It's been a long time since I've seen this man. And then, you know, I was looking at his fingers, his eyes. I was wondering all about his features, you know. And he handed me this card, and it was just like a little paragraph. And it was just like, I've got bipolar. I screwed up our family. You've got a great family. You might carry the gene. You might want to get checked out. Thanks for allowing me the time to spend with you. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that's kind of cool. And, so we continue to do things and bring the boys up there, and it's been a great thing. And I let my mom know about that, and I wasn't hiding anything from my family. I told all my siblings that, you know, I'm in contact with my father, and this is kind of what we're doing. And so that's been a blessing. I mean, it's been great. You know, let me tell you about the first time buying him a Father's Day card. It was like no problem to my mom. I love you. Love your son. You've done so much. And I go to the father's section. It's like, Happy Father's Day. You know, and like... It's like, oh, why do I have to deal with this now, you know? So I did. I just put Happy Father's Day, love Jim, you know, and I meant it. You know, I love my father. I don't know when I started and when I need to finish, but you were going to give me the 7-5-2. So anyway. I got welcome to the newcomer and happy birthday, 19 years, and the 90-day token takers. That's awesome. You know, all I have is today. You know, 23 years is all I have is today right here with you. And like I said, I know less now, so what that tells me to get back involved and start reading. And I'm done. Thank you for letting me share.